Welcome to 239 Uncensored. Everything Southwest Florida and beyond with your host, Tim Jarrett. This podcast covers it all. Real talk on issues from real estate to real crime. Join the discussion on hot topics to politics. Don't get left behind. Be in the know about everything Southwest Florida and beyond.
Welcome, welcome to 239 Uncensored Podcast, everything Southwest Florida and beyond. I mean, wow, we're killing it with this podcast. I mean, believe it or not, I think we have over 5,000 downloads. I think 1,000 plus Facebook likes, 37,000 Facebook post reach. You know, just being new and just getting that Facebook page up, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, I think we even got as high as number 77 on the Apple podcast charts in the categories of comedy interview. It's incredible. And thank you so much for downloading. We don't really care so much if you listen to it, but just download it. So, no, it's been great. I can't thank everybody enough. And, you know, we've got a lot of great episodes coming up and just wanted to keep everybody in check. And this is going good because it kind of gives us a feel for what's going on in Southwest Florida. And once in a while, we reach a little bit beyond if we have somebody that can give us a great interview or of someone of interest. So it's been great. Just wanted to discuss a little bit on a topic that's near and dear to me. It's caring for the elderly, in particular. In this case, it's my dad, who has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's about 4 years ago. As some of you may or may not know, if you follow me some on Facebook, I take care of my dad, and it's been almost 2 years now. He lives with me. My dad's name is Maynard. He's the best, and a lot of you probably follow our adventures on Facebook, and I can't really tell you how much that means to him. I mean, he doesn't really know a lot about Facebook, but I can tell you that if we put a picture up, usually within an hour or two, we have like 200 or 300 likes, and my dad doesn't really know what Facebook is all about, but he does know how the likes work. So when you click like and I tell him that, hey, we got 100 likes, he gets totally excited. He reads all the comments. I read them to him, and he just asked me, you know, on a regular basis, hey, how we doing on Facebook? He knows nothing other than that. But I really appreciate everybody chiming in. My parents have lived in Maine for, you know, most of their life. They did live in Florida for a period of about 5 years back in the late 90s. And approximately 4 years ago, my father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. You know, even though we kind of knew that something wasn't quite right memory-wise, didn't have the actual diagnosis, but when it came, it wasn't really a surprise to us when we did get it. Obviously, it was, you know, real bad news. My parents, they've been married for 57 years, coming right up here in September, and they attempted to live through it and continue on with their lives, maybe a little bit of hesitation or denial, but really it was just a coping mechanism for them, and they tried to live through it and try to get through it. Just like they have lived for 57 years, you know. So it was one of those things. You know, as time went on, I was getting a lot of phone calls, and basically there were disruptions at the house, and anytime there was some sort of infighting going on, they would give me a call. And it was very common for me to get 2 and 3 phone calls a day in reference to the, you know, disruptions that were occurring at the house. And a lot of that was brought on by my dad not listening to my mom. Okay. And my mom not listening to my dad. And also, obviously, my mother having to take care of my dad with his current condition and disease. And, you know, these phone calls would come in at all hours of the night. And I didn't mind that, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd get a phone call from them. I didn't mind that because my current job in law enforcement, I get those phone calls on a regular basis. The calls were problematic. I think the biggest thing was, normally when I get calls, I'm accustomed to being able to do something about it, to be able to handle it. When these calls came in at night, when they were having discussions or fighting was going on, I really couldn't control that situation. I was 1,500 miles away, which caused extreme frustration for me. And for some reason, I had this great idea. I'm going to go out and buy this Alexa, you know, the Alexa Show. This is one where you have audio and video at the same time. And I thought it was like the greatest idea at the time. The problem was when they would get in a dispute, they would go ahead and push Alexa and say, call Tim, and they'd call me. Now, I'm sitting front row in the middle of this fight that's going on or this disagreement that's going on at my house, and I'm trying to referee from 1,500 miles away, and I actually have a front row seat to it. So that really caused me a lot of anxiety and a lot of frustration. And my dad really didn't know how this whole Alexa thing worked. He didn't know if the camera was on, the camera was off. Many times I would just see him staring at this thing, waiting for me to talk to it. And a lot of times he would push it when my mother wasn't in the room. So I was like, you know, every time this thing would go off, I'd have to be near the, you know, near my Alexa, so I was able to talk to him or by my phone, or it just turned into a huge problem. And it really confused my dad because he didn't really know how it worked. You know, as far as gadgets go with him, he's very limited on what he knows, and he's not really interested in them. But those were very difficult. You know, as time went on, and this happened very quickly, I started to get phone calls. Not just by them, but I also started getting phone calls from the police, Bangor Police Department. They were phenomenal in helping me out. When my mother would get frustrated or she would feel threatened in any way or get scared, she would, you know, call me sometimes, but at some point she would go ahead and call the police department to come out and try to get a control of the situation. You know, she would call. She was perceived to be in fear. And, you know, she basically was tired. She didn't know what else to do. She would call the Bangor Police Department. They would come out, and then they would call me. You know, I'm 1,500 miles away. I do have a brother up there that's about 8 miles away, and I'm not giving him a hard time. He's just not geared to handle with these situations as well as I am because of my background. So they would call me, and I'd walk it through with the police department, and I'd tell the police department, I go, hey, just do what you got to do. Whatever you do, whatever decision you make is good. A lot of times what they would do is they would take my dad with them and to remove him from the house and that situation. They would take him to the local hospital. They would check him in the emergency room, and my dad would stay, you know, for a little evaluation, stay for a couple hours, and then guess what would happen? They would call my mother to come pick him up. The problem was with that is, you know, hey, after I pick him up after a couple hours, do you think this problem is going to continue? Absolutely. So again, that night I'd get another phone call from the police, and then it kept going and going and going. And, you know, as these things, you know, escalated, my mother basically would call me, and, you know, she basically told me, I need rest. I need some help. I need to get some sort of respite. I gotta have this. So I did some calling, you know, because this cycle kept continuing. I talked to a few people, friends of mine. A dear friend from high school, great friend, Darlene Trafton. I called her, and she actually was working at a beautiful assisted living memory care home near Bar Harbor, just up the street. It was beautiful. It overlooked the harbor, if you're familiar with that. And we made arrangements for my dad to stay and be removed from the home for a while, for about 10 days, and basically to evaluate him and to get my mother a little rest. You know, once he got there, I went up to Maine, flew up. We took him to the facility. And once he got there, my dad absolutely thrived in the environment. I mean, he never really felt that he was a patient there. He actually thought he was the director of marketing, and he was the ambassador for Birch Bay. This place was beautiful. He got to know everybody there. He basically thought he was their counselor, so it kind of worked out pretty good. I would get phone calls on a daily basis and you know, get a little rundown of how Dad's doing, and he just did great. Those 10 days were fantastic. He was able to get stabilized. His medications were going good. He was just doing fantastic. And, you know, my dad loves to talk to other people, you know, and it's funny because if my dad talks to you and you don't talk back, he basically gets mad and calls, you know, the other person crazy. My dad's a big talker. And he was trying to talk to these people that were advanced stages of Alzheimer's, and they would repeat themselves over and over. But my dad is just a listener, so he'd just be listening. He, you know, it was incredible. But he actually stabilized really well. He did very good. And again, it was a separation from my mom at the time because, again, she was going through, you know, the caregiver syndrome where she had to take care of him. My dad wasn't really listening to what she was saying, and that it was like oil and water friction at the house. So that was a problem. So, you know, we knew that this was a short-term stay, and at nearly $500 a day, that mini staycation at the nursing home wasn't going to last forever. You know, on my bill, you know, I'm like, I like to pay for a while, but, you know, I can only keep this up for so long. You know, they evaluated my dad, and my mother got some rest, but I knew we were in trouble. I knew there was going to be a problem when we brought them back together. Upon Dad's release from the memory care facility, it was a matter of 24 hours before this cycle continued. It just wasn't happening. My mother wasn't able to care for him. He wouldn't listen to a word he said or she said, and, you know, it was time for me to step in. So I was unable to fly directly to Maine at the time, so I had a dear friend again, Darlene. She actually took my dad in, into the nursing home, into the living, you know, from the living facility to her house. When she would go to work, she'd take him and do the day program, and she would, you know, take him home every day, and he would stay with her. And she was able to do that for about 3 weeks until I, you know, went and picked him up. It was December 15th, and basically the rest is history. You know, Dad's been with me now for 2 years. It's been an absolute blessing. Difficult, yes. Worth it, absolutely, for sure. And I'm very fortunate to be able to, you know, continue working in law enforcement and real estate, and I have the means to take care of him. So I'm very fortunate for that. And having him in my life, you know, in this later stage of his life and in his current condition has been a true blessing. And thankfully, we have a nurse that comes here every day to the house. You know, she's here from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So we usually can handle that one without much problem. Within, you know, an hour or two on each end, he usually does pretty good. Over the past 2 years, we've had many discussions about his illness, personal discussions with him. And, you know, I really want to know how this Alzheimer's has impacted him personally. Obviously, we know how it impacts us, but I really wanted to break it down. And I was always interested to know how it feels to have this disease. You know, he really can't explain it. He often tells me that it's like a cloud over his head. Short term, he basically says that his thoughts are cloudy, and it really, you know, bothers him. Long term, his memory is sharp as a tack. Out of the blue, he'll start talking about his friends from the past. And when he does that, he talks about his buddies. He'll go start running towards the phone. And, you know, the funny thing about it, it's like at all hours of the night. And I tell him, hey, Dad, you cannot call your buddies at 2 o'clock in the morning. As much as you want to, you can't do that. They're going to be very upset. So I usually hold him off till the next day about 9. And I tell him, all right, Dad, it's good enough to start, you know, calling him now. But, you know, the sad thing is he often forgets how to use the phone. I got him a speed dial phone with the big buttons on it. And, you know, he knows how to use that to a certain extent. But unfortunately, it only holds 10 numbers. So some of his other buddies that aren't on it, he has to physically dial that number in, and he forgets. Because when you have the big button, you push memory, then the big button, and it'll call them directly. On the other numbers, you have to call it directly in, the number. And he sometimes forgets that. But, you know, it's kind of sad sometimes. I'll see him standing on the phone. He doesn't want to ask anybody for help, so he's patiently waiting for me to help him. But he, you know, he rarely asks for it. So if I see him standing by the phone, I'll go, hey, I'm going to plug in the number for you. And he starts smiling, and he gets really excited about, you know, making those phone calls to his friends. Those are the things that make his day. You know, we've had many sleepless nights and conversations at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Often I'm trying to calm him down. He hears music, and he also sees flying spirits over his bed. It's kind of interesting. He describes them as like aborigines. They fly over him, and he doesn't really know, you know, what they are or where they come from, but obviously it's something from his disease. He'll often wake me up in the middle of the night and ask me if I hear these noises or hears, you know, things outside. And, you know, I calmly, you know, tell him no, but I understand and explain to him that maybe from his disease. I'm very fortunate that he doesn't wander yet, you know. So, and I think I've got him a little bit scared because we, in our neighborhood, we have a lot of bears and wildlife and all, you know, gators and things like that. So, you know, Maynard doesn't want to go out walking in the middle of the night. And I'm kind of glad about that because he is afraid that some of these animals are going to come get him. So, you know, it's interesting. Also, he has dreams and night thoughts that are extremely vivid to him. He often wakes up tired. Does that make sense? Like he's been working all night. His mind has been racing. He wakes up and he you can tell he's exhausted. He worked as a supervisor of a potato chip company most of his life. And he routinely tells me of stories of how he needs to make deliveries. Somebody called him from the CVS or someone called him from the Walgreens and they need chips now. You know, so I said, Dad, they don't need chips now. You know, no big deal. Tell them you're retired and you live in Florida. And then sometimes he'll tell me that cash up at the end of the week, he would have to cash all his funds and that would have to match and balance. And he says a lot of times that he's off by $20 or something like that. You can see him extremely exhausted, physically exhausted, you know, in some mornings. It's crazy. And, you know, we let him sleep as much as he wants. He does like to sleep. And, you know, we understand that, you know, he's probably up working and his mind is racing. And it's something that we probably can't understand. I mean, even though I wake up in the middle of the night a lot of times thinking about things, but it's just a situation where he can't control. And it's really difficult for him. You know, the interesting thing, too, is my dad's very content to sit outside for hours, you know, any chance he can get. He goes from the front of the house to the back of the house. He goes from the front to the street to the pool. And it's funny because when he sits out at the very front, he'll watch people go by, and he's amazing. He'll analyze every family that walks through. He knows when they're coming through, and he waves to them and talks to them, and he analyzes them and tells me all about them. And I think he should have been the police officer, not me. Again, though, he's just amazing being able to, you know, interpret people's thoughts and feelings by them just walking by, and it's pretty neat. You know, I got to watch him real closely. He loves to sit out in the heat. And I have to give him as much water as possible. One thing with the Alzheimer's folks is they do not like to eat and drink. You have to make them do that. I noticed that you ask him, are you hungry, Dad? No, no, no. But you put a plate of food as big as you can make it, and he'll eat every bit of it. As far as drinking, you got to have water in him. Well, put the fluids to him because they need it. You can't have them dehydrating. He loves the heat and sun. That's very important to make sure that, you know, we keep him hydrated. As some of you may know, follow me a little bit on Facebook. I try as much as possible to keep him busy. You know, pre-COVID, I would drag him everywhere. We go camping, we go to the restaurants, we go parties. Whatever we can do, we take him. It's kind of neat. You know, all my friends embrace him like family. Facebook has been great. Actually, it's turning him into a legend with his own fans. It's kind of neat. Everywhere I take him, they recognize him and not me. It's kind of funny. But, and you know, Dad loves the ladies. Anytime he sees a girl and they come up to him and give him a hug or want to talk to him, he's like, where do I know them from? And often they'll ask him for a photo op. But guess what? I have to deal with him when I get home. He always asks me, where do I know that girl from? That girl was pretty. You know, he always asks me. But I'd really like to thank everybody that's so supportive and helps me on a regular basis with him. He's just been great. I take him out everywhere. You guys treat him like family. And he just truly appreciates that. And he does not forget friends and family. You know, he's got so many people down here that have basically adopted him as their dad as well. So that's a good thing. You know, back in October, I purchased an RV, which was kind of neat. I was going to wait till I retired, but then I figured that was kind of stupid. I mean, let's go ahead and just get this thing now so I can enjoy it with my dad. So we've been out doing a lot of things. We've been going to different campgrounds, checking out things, even if it's just for a night. You know, we do that. The interesting thing, though, is I think the least amount of times he's gotten up to go to the bathroom was take a tinkle was 5. Because usually on the hour and sometimes on the half hour, he's up going to the, you know, going to the bathroom. We got this rule, no beer before bed. And Dad's not a big drinker. He'll have one of those NA beers, but he's never been a big drinker. But we don't allow him to have those things before bed because it's going to be a tough one. We're going to actually head up to Maine for about 3 weeks in September. Really looking forward to that trip, and we're hoping to, you know, put a lot of stuff out on Facebook so you can keep up with us as we go on that trip. So that's coming up very soon, you know, and we're looking forward to it. You know, we've also struggled, or I have struggled, with the COVID thing. I've basically come to the conclusion, let's protect him, let's keep him safe, but let's let him live his final years. We don't want him to be in a bubble or cocoon. Let's enjoy those times together, make the best of every last minute, and be safe. Yes, I think that's important, but we also need to enjoy life while we still have the time. I mean, obviously, at some point, this disease will take him. Otherwise, his health is good, but let's enjoy it. I think that's important. You know, we got to take these precious moments and turn them into gold if we can. Dad's been doing well. He has his everyday challenges, but he seems to be doing fine. He's been doing great, actually. He just turned 80 last week. During that time and the time he's been with me, I've learned so much about the disease and Alzheimer's in general. I will tell you this, though. Patience is truly a virtue. It's truly a virtue. Every day, patients get tested. I had him out on the Sea-Doos a couple weeks ago. Man, that was an interesting time. And my patience were definitely tested, but I laughed my ass off the whole time through it. You know, he's on there. He's holding on for dear life. I had to take him from the back and put him to the front because I didn't want him to fall off because I didn't want him to have to try to pluck him out of the Gulf of Mexico. But we had a great time. You know, it's funny. And it's very often I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I hear the faucet in his bathroom, in his bedroom going on, you know. And I walk in, I see him, he's out cold. The faucet is full speed ahead. Guess what? On hot water. So, you know, now I got the water bill. I got the electric bill. I've got everything. He's sleeping and he's, you know, he has no clue. It's just unbelievable. I'm going to be thinking about these bills for the rest of my life. And you know, the funny thing is it comes full circle because my dad would have killed me if I kept the light on when I was a kid. I mean, or the door open. I mean, my goodness, it would have been the end of the world if something like that happened. And you know, the long showers, I mean, I go in there and I check on him. About an hour later, he's still in the shower. I go, Dad, you need to get out of the shower. This thing is costing me a fortune. But it does come full circle. You just kind of laugh at it. Some of the things he does is just humorous. But again, patience is a virtue. And, you know, again, it's very important we pay attention to our parents when we can. You know, please keep in mind as a final note for all those people that are caring for your parents, please do the best to have patience, spend some time with them. It's very important. I do feel guilty at times when he's talking to me and I'm not listening like I should be. I'll have to turn my head. I got a million things going in my mind. Things are flashing through and he's talking and I'm not listening. It you know, sometimes brings a tear to my eyes, you know. So with that being said, let's take care of our folks. Please leave some comments in the Facebook section or on social media. I hope to talk about this topic quite a bit. And please, you know, give me your experiences as well in the subject, because I think the more we talk about it, it kind of helps us. I get a lot out of this just speaking to my friends. And, you know, now with the podcast, I can kind of have, you know, some conversations about it as well. And it really does help me. I'm going to go ahead and end this by reading a quick poem by Tim Brennan. Fighting our battles with confusion each day, routines are established to keep befuddlement at bay. We watch for stress and avoid mental fatigue, harmonious striving to make mind and body agree. We can still make decisions and want to interact with those called normal, but it's a balancing act. Simple is much better and less is okay. Our motto for having a very good day. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to 239 Uncensored. We hope you listen in to future podcasts. We are out. Please make sure to download and listen to us on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And don't forget to like and share on social media. This has been a Studio 239 production.